The conquest of Jericho began with a miracle and ended with a slaughter. Every man, woman, and child was put to death. No one doubts that God gave Israel a great victory at Jericho. But in hindsight, many people today see the hand of a vengeful God, unlike the God of the New Testament. On this broadcast, we'll face the tough issue of why Israel was told to put Jericho to the sword. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 6 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Let the Walls Fall, explaining why all in Jericho had to be destroyed.
Now, many people read this and they say, I can't take it in. I mean, what kind of a vicious God is this? So much so that the older liberals used to think that there were two gods, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. Well, you know that several months ago I preached on the topic of whether God is more tolerant than he used to be. And we showed conclusively that the same God in the Old Testament is the God of the New. And furthermore, the judgments of the New Testament are far more severe than the judgments of the Old Testament. All that you have to do is to read the book of Revelation to realize that. What was God saying in this context? This now is from my heart to yours, as everything is. Sin is contagious. It's contagious. It spreads like disease. It spreads like the flu. You begin to have contact with these false gods over here. You begin to compromise with these people who were exceedingly evil into every imaginable form of sexual perversion, into occultism and the whole bit. God says, I want you to destroy the enemy because there can be some things in which there can be no compromise. It's hard. But you read the book of Revelation and you discover judgments. Now, of course, the children, we believe, in this context would have gone to heaven. But the simple fact is that God is saying, you cannot compromise with sin. I don't know about you, but whenever I try, I always think to myself, well, I can compromise with this. And what God keeps telling me is, and showing me conclusively, that it's impossible. I read some time ago of a man who bought a house, and the owner said, I'll sell the whole thing to you, but I want to keep one nail, the outside nail. And I said, well, you know, let him keep the nail. Well, what that man began to do, the previous owner began to hang some decaying meat on that nail. So the owner now couldn't touch it because, after all, the nail belonged to the other man. Eventually, as the story goes, the owner had to give up his ownership. It's amazing how sin grows, and God is saying, this is serious stuff, occultism, immorality. Deal with these people severely as a judgment. What are the great lessons that we have to learn today? First of all, our basic battle is always spiritual. It is really spiritual. You know, it would be easy to say, well, you know, this was a real battle between two armies. Well, give me a break. I mean, where were the armies among the Israelites? Sure, they had men of war and everything like that, but they were woefully unequipped. That wasn't really the issue. The issue wasn't really the strength of Jericho, which was a very strong city. And archaeologists tell us that in those days, the Canaanites, I believe, already had iron, which meant that as they made various equipment and various weapons, they were far ahead of the Israelites, who had almost nothing. But that wasn't really the issue. The issue was two invisible armies at war here. And you remember last time where the captain of the host of the Lord comes to Joshua, and Joshua says, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, I have not come to take sides, I have come to take over. And he says, I am the captain of the host of the Lord. I can speak the word, and God's armies go out. Is it not the Apostle Paul who said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and things present, things to come, all of those things? I mean, there is, as we've often pointed out, a spiritual counterpart to the battles that take place here on earth. So that our own struggle with sin oftentimes is reinforced by the enemy. We remain responsible, but he is there to bind us and to condemn us and to hold us. Our battle with faith is a spiritual battle. When all that we can see is our own walls without seeing what God has provided for us, our basic battles are always spiritual. Let me give you a second observation. Our victory depends on our focus. Our victory depends on our focus. Now, one thing you will find when you don't have to live too long in this life. Looking in your eyes, most of you have lived long enough to discover this, that there are some people, and some of you live with people like this, and you work with them. They are wall watchers. Wall watchers love to talk about the height of the walls. They have measured the width and the height. They know, catch this now, the weight of the walls. Bless them. They know the age of the walls. They know how deep the foundations go. They know who put that wall into the ground. They've done a chemical analysis of the bricks that hold that wall. They are wall watchers, bound with walls that hem them in. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking at the walls, but here's what you have to do. You have to just glance at the walls, but you have to gaze at God. What a difference that is. What a difference when you can see beyond the wall to God. Changes everything. There is a story about two men very gravely ill sharing a room in a hospital. One man flat on his back, the other also flat on his back next to a window, but able to perch himself up about an hour a day in the afternoon when they were able to do some medical tests and attention that was given to him. And the man next to the window would prop himself up and talk to the other man who was lying flat and would tell him what he saw. Oh, he would tell stories about little girls walking along in their pretty dresses, and here's a little boy with his puppy, and he would talk about the beauty of the lake. In fact, he'd said so beautifully these descriptions that the man who was lying down lived for that moment when he'd be able to hear what was going on outside. Sometimes it was even a softball game or how a little child was saved from drowning in the lake. Well, time went on, and the man next to the window died. They took his body quietly away. The man lying there flat on his back in his loneliness wanted desperately to be next to the window, so when it was decent, he asked if he could be moved, and they said yes, and they tucked him in and they left him. And then, desperate for some news and some sights from the outside, he raised himself on one elbow and then the other to try to look out that window. And finally, he was able to look out and discovered that that window was up against a blank wall. You know, there are some people who can see beyond the walls. There are some people who are hemmed in and they can see beyond the walls. They can see God and they say, This wall is formidable, but it is not big enough or strong enough for God. And you begin to see through the walls to God. British Columbia, lovely, lovely province in a very lovely, lovely country. There was a prison built where no one tried to get out of. But when it was torn down so that they could build a new one, the workmen discovered something very interesting. It was not built of concrete. It was built of wallboard, but the wallboard mimicked concrete. It looked like concrete. The prisoners could have broken out. There's no question about that, but nobody ever tried. Do your walls today seem so strong, so deep, so filled with concrete, that you can neither see God nor see the possibility that if you were to push in faith, the walls might collapse so that you can be free. World War II, a young soldier took his bride to California. She was terribly lonely in all that heat, sitting there in all that loneliness. And she wrote to her mother, and she said, "Mother, I'm just too lonely." Her mother wrote back two lines. "Two men sit in prison bars. One sees mud, the other stars." It all depends. You can see whatever you want to see. If you're a wall lover and that's all you see, then keep loving and hugging that wall. But if you can see beyond that and you can see God, suddenly His glory and His honor and the possibilities of what God can do wells up within our hearts, and we say, "Oh God, This wall is no match for you, and your promises. March straight ahead and take the city." Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course, I don't want to be lighthearted in saying that all that we need to do is believe and all the walls fall. But I do want to say that God is on our side wherever we find ourselves. And if we trust Him, even if those walls continue to stand for a while, as we stand in faith, His will is accomplished. His will is done. My heart is heavy today because yesterday we received an email telling about the death of one of our missionaries. He was perhaps 45 years old, leaves behind a wife and children. And I thought to myself, here's a young woman who is now a widow. Is God there for her? Well, I'm sure that there are going to be many tears, many unanswered questions, much sorrow as she now raises these little ones on her own. But we have to say that even there, the hand of God will guide, the hand of God will direct, and it is our privilege to give her hope. But of course, we're all involved, aren't we? Today, I speak to those of you who are lonely, those of you who are discouraged. You need another Christian to come alongside of you, to stand with you, and to give you the encouragement that you need to keep on believing no matter what. Your walls haven't fallen yet. There are some in my life that haven't fallen yet. But if we keep trusting, we will still see the glory of God. So glad that you joined us. Join us again next time as we continue Running to Win with you and your needs in mind.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrapping up Let the Walls Fall, the third message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Tomorrow, the euphoria of Jericho gives way to a surprising failure at a place called Ai. Join us as we calculate the cost of hidden sin. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Getting Started Right can be yours as a six-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss tomorrow's Running to Win.